Welcome, church. Good to have you worshiping with us whenever you are watching. For those of you at home or walking and engaging us online, encourage you to share it. Let other people know what you're doing. Invite them, if they're a COVID-friendly family, invite them into your home and opportunity to worship together, to study together, to hear the heart of God together. For those of you in the room, we're glad you're here. You're all masked up. You're a little muffled in your singing, but hey, it will end and we'll get back to it full. Good to have you here as we share together in worship. Didn't you like that roll in? Man, sounds like an action film. I love that, because when we talk about justice, we are talking about action. We're talking about the difference God has called us to make in the world. You know, if I look at 2020, that justice word has been dominant, hasn't it? I mean, from the beginning of the year, and we started out, maybe you don't even remember now, the admission scandals. Remember, that was in 2020 also, you know. It was going on as well, and everybody was talking about, what's the justice to that? And then we move into the ethical misconduct issues that were going on through the spring, and, well, they seem to be always going on. We're talking about, what is the justice of that? And we begin to get into coronavirus, and we're going, man, there should be justice. Who's going to pay for starting this thing? And we're always pointing our fingers, where is the justice? And then we ended into the school and the coronavirus, and we talk about justice and inequities. You know, can everybody be able to learn when they're at home, and all the inequalities that are happening and things. And then we get into the racial riots and racial issues and the social systemic injustice that seems to keep raising its head. Justice is so big, not just in 2020. It's going on all the time, but it's been huge. What I want an opportunity to do is to take some time in these next 4 weeks, actually it'll be 5 weeks, is next week. We're going to talk about some vision things with CDK and some really neat reveals for Act to Thrive and the facility. But over the next, for 4 weeks, actually 5 weeks, four justice teachings, we want to dive in deeply as to what justice looks like biblically. How does God define the word justice? What does it look like for you and me as a people? And particularly today, I want to talk about, what is it to the heart of God? How does justice reflect the heart of God? And how can we begin to learn as God's people how to deal with this in our world? Not just deal with it like we want to sweep it away. How do we look into it? How do we live into it? And what's God calling us to be like in the heart of it? Kyle Hearn shared with us a video this past week. He's going to be teaching one of the messages, our youth student pastor. And he shared a little video. It's about 6.5 minutes, and it's almost cartoonish. I would say it's a third grade way to walk through what justice looks like in the scripture. Well, we all kind of need sometimes a third grade look at it because it's so complicated. But it doesn't really have to be, and I think that video kind of lays it out beautifully. We're going to post that link to that video. It's actually put out by the Bible Project. And it'll be hosted on the message series site under justice. So you, sometime this week, it should be up there, and you'll get a chance to kind of look at that as well as you're following along and studying. I want to encourage you in the study notes section and in the home study section to go deeper in the conversations. There's one thing to come in on a day when you're watching the message. There's a whole other thing when you're taking the message deeper and learning how to apply it in your life and in your community as we journey together. So today, let's dive in. First, the heart of God for justice. What is the heart of God for justice? I want to open up with a passage that maybe is probably the most familiar passage of justice in all of Scriptures. And it comes from Micah chapter 6. If you've read anything on justice or heard things on justice, this was thrown out constantly, and it goes along with Isaiah because they are prophets, one a minor prophet, one a major prophet, Micah and Isaiah, and they're prophesying around the same time. about the same problems that are going on in the culture and in the nation, not unlike what we have going on today. So I want to pair them together as we begin to look at the heart of God for justice. So here we go. If you have your Bibles with you, open up. Bible apps, open up. If you're on our online campus, on Brushfire, on our website, there's a Bible right there on the right side. You can click on it, open it up. But follow along with me, because this message is text heavy. We're going to be diving through particular text and walking through them together. So get ready. Micah chapter 6, beginning with verse 6. It goes like this. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself down before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? So what's the prophet speaking about? We get a sense from the passage what's going on in the culture. What's not going on in the culture is justice. Okay? Because there's something that they're to do that they're not doing. Secondly, what's not going on in the culture is loving mercy. Third, what's not going on in the culture is walking humbly with God. In essence, prideful actions and prideful ways. Now, that's what's not going on in the culture. But what is going on in the culture? These were religious people. They were following God. They were God's people of old, the nation of Israel, the forefathers and mothers of the Christian faith, coming into the time of Jesus from that heritage. They were called out and separated by God as to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. They had a covenant with their forefather Abraham to be blessed, to be a blessing. God wanted to bless them so that the world would be blessed through them. They were given through Moses when they were wandering through the wilderness, a legal system, we could say, but not a negative legal system, a positive legal system. Literally, it was the rules to play by. It's kind of like as a parent, you give your children boundaries to live by that make their lives good. That's what God did. He gave them these laws, what are called the laws of Moses, to give them boundaries to life, to say, if you live this way, life will go well with you. It'll go well with the nation. You will be the kind of people, light and salt in a world, to impact the other nations to know the living God. Pretty awesome, isn't it? That's what you and me, when you sign on to follow Jesus, that's what you signed on for. You get to be more than just an individual in this life. You get to be part of a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, bridge builders, literally priest means, to make an impact in the world. And God has given you boundaries and me boundaries in our relationships, in our lives, in order to live well. It's a good thing, okay? It's a good thing. Now, this is what had happened. The people forgot to do the good things, but they continued to worship. I know none of us fall into that category, do we? We show up to worship God, but then we go on with our lives. As if our lives are separate from our worship. That's what was going on. And you'll see it clearly in Isaiah. Is they were doing all of these things. And it starts out, well, what can we do? We've sinned against you, God. We want to come to you, God. We want to offer you our offerings. Now, they understood the tithe. The tithe meant that you give God your first fruit, your first of everything. It's because you know God is the provider of all things, okay? You don't have a talent without God. You don't have a living without God. You don't have income without God. So therefore, they honored God. They brought before God the first fruits for the work of God in the world. The same we do at church today. When you give an offering, a tithe means the first 10%, and you give to God, you're literally honoring God. You're not making God happy. You're living because you honor God. It's because you know that you can't live without God. That's why you give, okay? It's not to something. It's out of something. It's not for something. It's from God. That's the tithe. They got that. But now they're going, well, wait a minute, we're sinners. We need to atone for our sin. What can we do more, okay? Can we do something outside of our tithe, outside of our giving, that makes you happy with our sinful state? So they roll off a list. Shall I bring more burnt offerings? You see, in that day, they didn't have Jesus, okay? So literally, part of the law of Moses was to say, okay, we know that you sin. You need to confess your sin before God. And to atone for your sin, God doesn't take it out on you, but literally the firstborn lamb or the lamb that's a year old, unspotted, perfect, clean, you would sacrifice. Literally, you'd spill the blood of the lamb, which would atone for your sin. It would make right. It's reparation. It'd make right your sin before God. Now, we know in the New Testament that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, that God made reparation for our sin, that God sent his son Jesus, the spilling of the blood to save us from our sin, so there's not a separation. That's how serious sin is, people. We sometimes forget about that, right? You know, if we were just to think for a moment what God did on our behalf through Jesus, we would be on our knees before God all the time, every day. Sometimes we just forget. But in the Old Testament, they would bring ritually, doing literally the right thing, the sacrificial lamb before the altar to atone for their sin. Literally, they were being right religiously. They were going through the rituals to be good people. You ever been through the rituals to be a good person and you look really good on the outside, but on the inside? Not so much. That's where they were. So they increased it. Micah's saying, this is what you do. You say, well, if that's not enough, will you be pleased if we bring thousands of rams and 10,000 of rivers of oil? Well, no individual could do that. So literally everybody was out unless you were extremely wealthy. Or the nation did it before God. And then they went even further. They said, shall I give the firstborn of my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? Would you require that? How far will you go to be saved? That's what they're asking. End of the day, God's saying, I just want your heart. In the New Testament, we see that Jesus Christ was God's own son, the firstborn given to pay the price of our sins so that we might know the deep love of our Heavenly Father and give Him our heart. He says, literally what we have Micah saying is, people of God, you've given me all your stuff, but what I don't have is your life. And what I see by that, and how do I know that? Because there's no justice and no mercy and no humility in your heart. So what does that look like? To love mercy. Let's just start with that one. Literally the word in the Old Testament is, the Hebrew word is hesed, which literally is a broad state of mercy. It means to have mercy that is so deep, to love mercy so much that you see the need of others and you have mercy on them and you proactively pour out yourself with such love that you go and you take care of them. That's literally what the word means. And he's saying that you're all about yourselves, Israel. You're all about yourselves, but you do nothing to deeply love and have mercy in the world of the people around you. You come before me to offer everything, but you're not even like me. You don't do what I have literally done for you. And walk humbly, to walk humbly. Literally, it means to walk every step in the hand of God. That's what it means to walk humbly. It means that I want every decision to be of your mind and in my heart to think as your heart and my soul to be attached to you. It means that I know that everything comes from you. And without you, I can't take the next breath. And if I believe in you and I've called you into my life, when I stop this breath on earth, I breathe with you in heaven. It means that everything foundationally comes from you. And I know you and I celebrate you and I walk with you. Literally, the people had stepped back going, I got it. To walk humbly. But are we not curious about this word justice? That's where I want to dive deeper. To do justice. It's an action word. I put it in here, to act justly. It's an active word. All of these words are active. They mean a forward movement in what we want to think about. And that word justice in the Old Testament comes from the Hebrew word mishpat, which literally is a very broad sense. See, sometimes we can look at justice like, am I going to get justice? But it's much bigger than that. It opens up to the care of the poor, to the support of those who do not have, to those who are treated inequitably in the midst of the world. It goes to taking care of widows and orphans. All of that is under that word mishpat, which is so dominant. And it mostly describes God. When God says, I am the father to the fatherless, I care for those who do not, I take care of the equality of those. When the law of Moses was set on the people, they literally were saying that when the sojourners, which were the homeless, come within your midst, you are to treat them like family. There weren't homeless shelters. Literally says, you are to take them into your home. And the things and the qualities that you live by and the things that are in your life are the same for them. You cannot treat them differently. That's literally what the law said. God had set forth such a justice system that everybody was treated in the image of God. God knew that there were not, everything wasn't equal. God knew that some had and some didn't. That some were sojourners and some were widows and some were orphans. But in the mass of the community, the system of justice was to care for all equally. So God reminds the people through Micah, I've told you already. You already know what is good. It's all written down. It's right here for you to have. Why do you live as if you don't have it? Proverbs 31:9 says, open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. That is mishpat, or justice. Defend. Psalm 146 says, David writes in verse 5, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. That is humility. That's walking humbly. Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. That is justice. That is mishpat. The Lord sets the prisoners free. Hear the heart of God. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down, who are broken in spirit, etc. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners, or the homeless, or the wandering poor. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The heart of God. That's what God is about. He's saying, if you're worshiping me, then be about what I am about. that's your heart. To worship me and not be what I am about is not worship at all. Wow. That's really what he's saying. It's hard to hear. It's hard to even imagine how much God cares and how much justice is throughout the scriptures. Let's take a look at Isaiah. Let's go a little deeper. Isaiah the prophet is speaking in a similar context. And the people, he's encouraging Isaiah as Isaiah is speaking, what are the charges against the people, this nation of God's people? He's speaking basically to his people, okay? See, he's not speaking to a world that doesn't know God. He's speaking to the world that does know God, okay? So let's separate it out a moment. If we know God, he's speaking to us. Because we're to be a light and salt to the world. The world, quote unquote, doesn't know how to do justice. It is God's people that were always taught to do justice. So if we're going to get justice right, where's it going to come from? It's going to come from the Word of God, from God, and from the people of God. Or else we're going to get it wrong all the time. You see, we have a role in the world. The same role that God called the ancient nation of Israel to have. This is what he says in Isaiah 58. Follow along with me in your Bible apps. 58, beginning with verse 1. Cry aloud, do not block, do not back, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. In essence, Isaiah, make it clear. What I hope today is it becomes clear. This is the Word of God. This is not Craig Bollinger speaking about what I want to tell you. This is what the Word of God is telling me. And I'm sharing with you the Word of God. Verse 2, it says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as if they were a nation that did righteous. Isn't that interesting? They want to know me, and they seek me. They go to the Bible studies. They read the Bible. They come to church. They long to know me. They want to hear my ways as if they really want to do right. Isn't that interesting? Some of you parents might have felt that way for your kids. I remember my dad a few times says, well, why did you ask me what to do when you didn't listen? That's modern-day terminology. We do it on every generation, and here's what we're doing to God, he's saying. He says, and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments, and they delight to draw near to God. In essence, they're asking for all the right things, but, and in verse 3, the people are asking the question from Isaiah. So why have we fasted, and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no notice of it? In essence, we're bowing down. We have sackcloth and ashes. We're confessing our sin. Maybe we're even repenting of our sin that we come before God. That's what that fasting and sackcloth and ashes was. We're doing the rituals. Why are you not hearing us? And here's the response. Behold, in the day of your fast, that means on the times that you're coming to confess sin and repent of sin, you're coming before God, you're wanting to seek God, you're coming to the Bible study, you're studying together. In the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure. Kind of names it, doesn't it? And you oppress all your workers. In essence, nothing's changed in your heart. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight. And to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. Literally, it's kind of going out both sides of your mouth. There's a repentance and there's a confession that we can have before God. And yet, at the same time, we're over here not really caring. That's what's going on. It's remarkable. Is this not the fast that I choose? And God just gets real plain. a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow his head like a reed and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness? To undo the straps of the yoke? To let the oppressed go free? And to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? So maybe before we had a separation, this is what fast looks like, and this is what fast looks like, but what God is saying is they're not separate. One is true of the other. It's not being hypocritical. It's having a life completely changed to the following of the way of God. The last part says, don't hide yourself from your own flesh. It means that we're pretending. That they're pretending we don't see it, or we don't know it, or I wasn't aware that was going on, or really, I can't help. All these things that he's saying, you just hide from your own flesh. But listen to this. And I want you to hear this next part really clearly. In verse 8. Because following God is exciting. And we might hear this stuff and say, man, it feels heavy. It feels hard. It feels like I'm not doing enough. Or the world's gone crazy and I'm sitting on the sideline. Which, by the way, God would say is unjust. But listen what God has for you and me. Why does he have the boundaries? Why does he have the law? Why does he care about justice in this way? Listen to what he wants your life and my life to be like. This is why I follow him. This is what I see God doing in and through my life and in and through the lives of so many people who are passionate about the things of God. He goes like this in verse 8. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Remember Jesus says, go be light and salt in the world. And your healing shall spring up speedily. That God wants you to be a light. He wants to bring healing into your life. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Now get this. In Ephesians 6, the New Testament, Paul speaks about putting on the whole armor of God. And the whole armor of God is in the forefront. He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of truth. Everything is moving forward. He's saying, put on the armor that you can be about what God's calling you to be about. But here he says, I'll be your rear guard. I'll protect you. Protect you. I'll be behind and before. That's the gift that God has for every one of us in the room. You know, if you want to be where God is, then look what God is doing and join him. There are two key areas in the scriptures that are clear, that God says, here I am, or I will be with you always to the end of the age. There's two clear areas. You've heard me say it 1,000 times if you've been a part of CDK. Number one is in Matthew 28, is when you're on the front line bringing people to Jesus Christ, because Jesus clearly cares, God cares about the lost, and he wants them to come to him. He says literally in Luke 19:10, I came to seek and to save the lost. And he says, there I'm with you always. You want to be about miracles and you want to be in the presence of God? You want to see things happening? Then have godly conversations and draw them to Jesus. The other side is this, be in justice. Be about the care of the oppressed, the homeless poor, the broken and the orphan and the widow and those who are racially injustice. Be about that, because that's where God's working and moving. Clearly through the scriptures, that's in the heart of God. And he says, there I will hear you. You will see miracles happen in those places. And then he goes on. if you take away the yoke from your midst. Now this is from your midst. He's saying, what, wherever you have put a burden, an undue burden on people for your own good, remove it. And where you see the yoke put on people in your culture, you need to be proactive to remove it. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger. Anybody ever done that? Never feels good to do that, does it? You see what's going on. When you take away the pointing of the finger, you know, we even love on the other, you know, on the side of judgment, everybody's pointing the finger. Stop. Love mercy. The speaking of wickedness. The tearing down of other people. Stop. The light of Jesus won't be in you. If you pour yourselves out for the hungry, that means it costs us something. It means that we want to live life not fulfilling everything that we make. We want to have room to pour ourselves out for those who have need. That was already built into the law of Moses. And satisfy the desire of the afflicted. And listen again. Then your light will rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as noonday. Anybody ever had a gloomy day? Particularly in coronavirus. He says, when you're living with my heart in the midst of the world, you won't have gloomy days. That's what I'm hearing. It'll be like noonday. You'll be so excited making a difference in other people's lives, you don't have time to be gloomy. And the Lord will guide you continually, not just today or tomorrow, but continually, and satisfy the desire in scorched places. Listen, what he's saying is there's going to be some scorched times in our lives. But God is even going to come in those hard, difficult times when it feels scorched and dry, and he's going to satisfy you. He's going to make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. What does that mean? It means all the stuff that I messed up on back here, that having residual effects through my life, that means those ancient ruins are going to be rebuilt. He's going to work there. He's going to not have my past hold back my future. That's what that means. But listen, it's not just the past that he's taking care of. He says, I'm going to raise up the foundations of many generations. That means going forward, he's going to use you and me to build solid foundations for our children and our children's children and our children's children and so forth and to the world around us. Imagine you get to do that. You might say, well, I don't have kids. But yes, you do. If you're part of the body of Christ, hey, here are your kids. You shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets to dwell in. What awesome that is. Anybody want to be a part of that? That's what I've signed up for. That's awesome. Sometimes we hear the word of God and we think of it as legalism. It's not. It's about the privilege we get to be light and salt and healed and God moving and working in our lives. That's why he's given us the rules and the laws. So I want to give you three things to hold on to about the heart of God. Out of all of this, just hold on to this. Number one is this. God is serious about justice. It's clear throughout the scripture, and you're going to hear it as we continue to teach. God is serious about justice. Psalm 89 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. The foundation. Hear that? Steadfast love and faithfulness go before him. Loving mercy. Hesed. Proverbs 14:31 says, for whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker. Wow. Hear clearly. And this whole aspect of mishpat or justice that God is concerned about is racial equalities and inequities being taken away from situations that we find. It means being generous in our caring, as he talks about. Is it not to share with the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed? It's caring for a vulnerable population. You know, we look in our world and we see the inequities. Kids grow up in impoverished situations, in disadvantages, social inequities, in abuse and struggle, lack of jobs or lack of education. You can blame a lot of things, but you can't blame the kids. It's not their fault. Do justice is to care for that. It's what he's called us to be about. The second is this. And I think sometimes this is what can be so startling. Living justly defines our relationship with God. What he was helping the people of Israel understand is, how can you be this in worship and not be living this at all? One is to have a relationship with me. One is to simply give me lip service. A defined relationship with God is about the worship all the time. It's the joy of it, but it's also the heart of it. It's what it truly means to love Jesus with all our heart and all our mind and all of our soul. Number three, justice flows from the sincere worship of God. You see, justice and mercy and humility are not laws. They're actions from a heart of worship. You know, so we can look at this sometimes as, and it never lasts, you need to be more merciful. That's the pointing of the finger. You need to do justice. We hear that in the world all the time. It's legalism. You need to be more humble. How does that make you humble? But listen to it this way. Because I love Jesus, and because I want my heart to be similar to God's heart, I do justice. I love mercy. And I walk humbly. Is what we do. It's like you might share about your family. We go hiking. It's what we do. We love to camp. It's what we do. We go to worship. It's what we do. We love God. What we do is justice and mercy and humbleness. What we do. That's what he's talking about. And that's what he wanted Israel to understand. Because somewhere it became law. And when it becomes law, it's lost. On the cross, Jesus showed it to us clearly. He reminds us how worthy we are and how much he loves us. He walked humbly, was obedient to God. He loved mercy because he saw us in our fallen state. And he did justice. He made atonement for our sin. And he died on a cross that we would never be separated from him. I want to be like that. I want it to be what I do, not what I have to do. And I pray that for this church, and I pray it for you. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you as your people, and we struggle with this thing called justice. But clearly you don't. Father, we thank you for loving us on the cross so much that you would pour out yourselves, that you would give your only Son, that we would live with you forever. Father, forgive us. Turn our confession into repentance, that we would turn from our selfish ways and we would desire your heart, that your Spirit would speak in and you would change us from our worldly ways, as Michelle spoke of, to new actions that look like your actions. Father, if there's anyone who hasn't given their life to you, that's the very first step. Father, let your Spirit touch their lives. Knock on the door of that heart and say, God, I want to live with you forever. I want to have a change of heart. I want to be like light and salt in a world. And I want you to heal the breaches of my past and lay the foundations for my future. I want to be like a well-watered spring. I want to be able, Father, to be those that others look to as a healer. Move in my life, Lord Jesus. Father, we praise you. We lift up the needs of our country. We lift up the needs of every individual. You've already seen them all. May we be truly your people, the church of Jesus Christ. In your holy name we pray.